Welcome, welcome to the Focal Points Podcast. I'm your host, Dori Howell, and I am so glad that you're here with me today. Today, I have special guest, Natasha Lamal. Natasha is a wedding and engagement photographer located in Washington, D.C., and she is originally French, and she moved to the United States with her husband, and she has a background in photojournalism, and it's now taken her very unique style into the wedding world, and her images are beautiful. And like you'll hear me talk about in the podcast recording with her, they're not the typical light and airy type style. There's something a little bit different. And I'm excited for you to hear this conversation as she walks through her process for offering, selling, designing, and delivering albums to her clients, because something is good to be reminded of and know how things shift and change in the marketplace and realize that however you do this, there's really no right or wrong, but it's always interesting to hear someone else's process. And we're going to do that today on the Focal Points Podcast, brought to you by my friends at Enphoto. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Focal Points Podcast. I am so glad to be here today with my guest, Natasha Lamal. She is a wedding and engagement photographer located in Washington, D.C. In fact, we're so close, we probably could have done this in person today. I am right outside the city in Fairfax County. And Natasha, where are you located exactly?
I'm in Maryland in Silver Spring.
Oh, you're in Silver Spring. Yes. Okay. My mother-in-law lives in Silver Spring, so I know that area well too. So welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you so much.
Well, I first became familiar with Natasha in the fact that we have a local photography group here. Like probably most people listening here, we have, you know, we have our big giant photography groups that kind of serve everyone in a lot of different countries. And then we have a local photography group, and we have a few in the Washington, D.C. area. And I'm always looking for guests. So hint, hint, if you want to be a guest on the podcast, hit focalpointspodcast.com and submit your form. And I put out a call and I said, hey, I'm looking for photographers who have interesting stories to tell or want to share something about their business. And if anyone's interested, go to this website and fill out this form. And that's exactly what Natasha did. And I was super excited when she submitted the form, and she had some really great things that I thought would interest you as our listening audience today. So Natasha, I'm so glad that you're here with us today. Tell me a little bit about your origin story, how you got started in photography, and specifically how you landed on engagements and weddings.
I started photography a long time ago, feels like. I was in high school, so, you know, about like 14 years ago now.
Oh, and, you're ancient. You're,
you know, that's so more, I think. I think, wait, I'm really bad at math. So very like 16, I'm 34, you know, at 16, I picked up my 2-pixel camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, I already wanted to be a journalist at that point. I knew what I wanted to do, but journalism was changing a lot. And, you know, when it was 2006, you couldn't just write. You had also to take the pictures in your local newspaper. And so I was like, okay, well, I need to get better at photography. Like, I know how to write a story. Now I need to know how to take pictures. Mm-hmm. So that's when I picked up the camera and I trained myself as a photojournalist on the top of being a newspaper reporter. Mm-hmm. And well, turned out that I like the photo better than I like to write the story.
So, I think that's something a lot of people can relate to, right?
I'm sure. But I still went to a journalism school to, you know, learn everything you need to learn about how to be a good journalist. And then what happened then? It's messy because I met my husband. Mm. He's American.
Yeah, they mess things up a lot, those husbands.
And I was in the U.S. and in Europe back and forth for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And that's when photography became more important, because I arrived in Detroit after a master's degree in history and in journalism. And, you know, I picked up my camera again for real this time. And I was trying to tell stories of the people of Detroit. You know, it was 2013. So it was kind of a tough time in the city still.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, how can I tell good stories about the people living in Detroit? And that's how I really started to do photojournalism. I couldn't, you know, I didn't manage to sell articles. It's really hard to be a freelance writer. So I focused all my energy on doing documentary photography in the city. And that was really great. I think it was kind of like my own street school, where I learned all the tricks and, you know, how to get close to people, how to say hi to a stranger and they're becoming your best friend in one day because follow them around.
Yeah.
Like a creepy photographer. But that's how I got my best images, you know? It got creepy and sneaky. By the way, I love my wedding client call me Sneaky Natasha.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Well, the thing that's very interesting, when I was looking through your portfolio, it definitely is taken from someone who has a different type of view. And now that I know your photojournalism background, it makes a difference. Like, Natasha is not your typical light and airy natural light photographer. Like, that is not what she's doing. And so if you go to the show notes page, we'll link to her sites so you can take a look at the art that she creates for her clients. It definitely has a different edgy type feel to it, which I'm sure attracts you a certain type of client, because I think there's something to be said for certain photo styles. Like, light and airy is one, and then you kind of have the dark and moody, and then you have the people who are really great at creating feelings and emotions with their off-camera flash and all those different things. And so I love looking at that. And I loved, as soon as I popped over to it, it looked different. It looked like not everyone was photoshopped to perfection and everything like that. Everyone looked good and honest and clean and like they were having a good time, but it was very much from a this is real life perspective through the lens versus something that you try and create and might be deemed as artificial. And there's a lot of people who are going to be attracted to that, because there's a lot of people who are turned off by the excessive editing and the fakeness and everything that you see in a lot of images that are online these days. And we can talk about that later. So anyway, how'd you land in DC? Since you were in Detroit, how did you land in DC?
You know, again, my husband, my boyfriend at the time, became my husband in DC. He found a job in DC and I followed him. It was really tough to leave Detroit, I felt, because there was such a strong community, and being part of the community as a photographer, it was so great. Mm-hmm. And I came in DC and I just felt lost. It's, you know, the capital, and I just didn't know, like, I was like, where is the community? There's too many communities within the city.
There's a lot of communities in the city.
Exactly. And I guess I was not part of any of them at that point. And that's when I reached out actually to another photographer, a wedding photographer, Ken Pack. And I was like, hey, can I like follow you around? Because I feel like your style is really close to what I would be doing if I was a wedding photographer. I didn't know I could translate what I knew as a photojournalist into wedding photography. And he showed me that. And I was like, okay, well, so we hang out. He invited me on one of his wedding and it was amazing. Like watching him work, I was like, that's incredible. The work you're doing, the images you're creating during a wedding day. I love that. I want to do that. But that's when I started doing second shooting for other wedding photographers in DC.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's how you got your start here in DC. Yeah. People, it's so interesting when you're coming from one city into another. Every city kind of has its own flavor. I'm from the Los Angeles area, from specifically Orange County. And what a lot of people know of Orange County is what they see on, you know, old shows like 90210 and Melrose Place. And then you have the Real Housewives and that kind of stuff. And so they always have these assumptions of these beach communities and these types of people. And that's not, yes, I grew up in that area, but that's not necessarily the kind of person that I am. But they have these stereotypical ideas. And when people come to DC, you see a lot of it politicized. And you know that the political nature is huge here. But every culture and every niche, I'll say, of people has their own different community. And yes, the Korean community is huge. And because we have all the embassies and, you know, you just can't help it. They're going to find your people. But digging deep and finding the people that share the same values as you and the same interests as you, sometimes you have to put a little work into. And a lot of people, I just think sometimes think that it wants to come like knocking on their door. And I love the fact that in both places, in Detroit and in DC, you have said that you reached out to people. You are the one who's like, okay, I need to find these people. I need to become, you know, Sneaky Natasha and find those people on the street in Detroit, or I need to find the photographer that I can relate to in Washington, D.C. and find your community. And that's a lesson right there for people, is you have to reach out and you have to take that action. So that was not what we're here to talk about today, but I love that so much in your story. But there were a lot of things that you, there were several things that you put on your list of topics that you wanted to talk about today. And I want to kind of hone in on one thing, because there's so many things that we could talk about. But I really love the idea that you wanted to talk about albums, photography albums, and offering those and how you do that. So I want to dive into a little bit about your process, about how you offer albums, sell albums, design albums, those types of things. Because I think for some people, they find that a little bit overwhelming. But if we can help them break that down a little bit and realize that it can really be a profitable and important part of your business, I think that would be great. So why did you, because in photojournalism, you don't offer any products or any albums, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you can publish a book if you're really lucky, but yeah, it's not common.
Right. So that's not something, you're not going up to the street and being their best friend for a day. And then at the end of the day saying, hey, I took all these pictures today. Do you want to buy an album? Like, that's not a thing, right?
No.
So why did you come to the realization that you really wanted to start selling albums to your clients?
Well, I'm going to refer to Ken Pack again, because when I met him, he was like, you know, we love album and we have an album company. There were at that time an album company in Maryland. And so I went to the factory and I looked at the album being made. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know wedding albums were like this nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. I had in mind my parents' wedding album with the photos, you know, in the book. And
like in the mats?
Yeah.
Like the old-fashioned kind of album, yeah.
Right? And so I had no idea that wedding albums were so nice and looked so perfect. And looking at your photos in the wedding album, that just, it was just a click in my head. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess the goal of wedding photography is not just taking pictures. It's to get pictures printed in an album so they can look at it every day. That's right. What makes sense. That's what is meaningful to the work I do, is that at the end of the day, my couples, they have their photos by their side for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that so much. You know, a lot of photographers who haven't been in the business for, you know, decades believe, they forget that there was a time, like they understand that there were light rooms and or dark rooms and all that type of thing, and that you did negatives and you had to develop those. But in that doesn't really translate into how that impacted the industry today. And before there was digital photography, and to you said you had your like 2.1 or 2.8 megapixel camera or something when you got started. When I got married, that was 20 years ago, and we thought we were really, really great taking our 1.8 megapixel camera on our honeymoon to Tahiti. You know, my husband's a techie, and so we always have, you know, the cutting edge of technology and that kind of stuff. And we just thought that was just like the best thing ever. Now, cut to today, where I can only get those images printed like as an 11 by 14, and that's it, because there's not enough pixels there. It's a good incentive for us to go back to Tahiti someday so I can take some real pictures. But I think people forget that before then, before digital, the only way people could enjoy their pictures was if they were printed. And everybody got so caught up in digital and screens and that type of thing that a lot of our industry has lost track or didn't pay attention to the fact that printing your pictures is not new. Printing your pictures is the way it was always done and the way it should be done. So I love it when people come to the realization of, oh, yeah, I should be offering them these types of things. So you came to that realization where you wanted to offer them albums and that they could enjoy these things for life if they wanted to. So how do you present that to your clients in the offers that you give them, that an album is either something that's available to them or it's included in your session fee? How do you do that?
So I've changed a lot over the years, right? Like everyone, I tried different formula. And let's talk about what I do now. So, you know, for a long time, like a lot of people, I put the album in the packages, but now I don't do packages anymore anyway. But, you know, an album, it's expensive for us on the cost of business. And so I was like, okay, they need to see the value, because it's an investment. It's basically sometimes, you know, a third of what they invest just in for the wedding part, just the coverage.
Yeah.
So I like to explain to my clients is that the wedding photography part of their wedding coverage is not the goal. Okay, the wedding album is the goal at the end. And here you go, I don't push them too much on the purchase of the album. I just wait and wait. What okay. I do now is I actually wait for them to have their wedding pictures. Why? Because once they have their wedding pictures, they look at the slideshow I send them and they're like, wow, mm-hmm. our wedding pictures are so great.
Yeah.
And that's when I arrive and I say, you guys, your wedding pictures are so great. It turned out so good. Let's talk about your wedding album.
Yeah.
And so at that point, they're like, okay, yes. Because they're so excited about how mm-hmm. their wedding pictures look that they don't want it to end.
Right. I love that so much because you're probably also catching them shortly after their honeymoon. They're still on their high. You know, they want to share these images. They're super, super excited. But I want to go back and mention, because I've talked about this before during the inquiry process and the booking process, a lot of photographers will throw so much information at their clients about everything that they need to know and everything that they're going to do throughout the whole process. Like they send an inquiry and then you send them something that is like way more information than they even need. And it's not like you're hiding information, but it's kind of like when you're explaining something to a young child and they want to know about sex, or they want to know about God, or they want to know about these big concept things. And if you're a parent, you know, okay, I'm only going to tell them what they can understand and comprehend at this point in time. So where do babies come from? Well, when you know, people love each other, whatever, then a baby comes. Okay, that's good when you're 3 years old. And that's the first step of the process. And then as they get older, you go into more detail. So I love the fact that you're not just throwing all this stuff out at them at the very beginning, because that can become overwhelming and it can turn people off. So, okay, so they've gotten their pictures, but I should go back and say, you've seeded it. That's what we call it, you know, in the marketing world. You've seeded it along the way of like, the ultimate goal is the album. An album is essential. The final outcome of what we want to do with your pictures is the album. Like you've planted those seeds all along the way. So it's not a surprise to them when you send them their pictures and all of a sudden you're talking about buying an album that could be very costly. They've been hearing this along the way. They should expect that it's coming. So they get their images. They want to share them. They decide, yes, I want that album. What happens after they say yes, as far as design goes? How do you handle that?
So once they say yes, I design the album using a software that helps me a lot. Mm-hmm. So my albums, when they buy the base package, is 30 pages.
A 30-page album? Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of small-ish, mm-hmm. I think, depending on the wedding. So usually I over-design. Not because I want to over-design. I usually just throw all the pictures in there, and then I just design it the way I think it looks the best.
Is that a 30-page... 60 spread album, just so that we're talking about the same thing.
It would be 15 spreads.
So, okay. So yes, that is very small for a full wedding day. Okay. So then I'm assuming you have.
That's the base. Buy.
Okay. But then you have options where they can buy more.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, and they know it's 30 pages. I've had couples cutting down their pictures to get to the 30, and that's fine. You can mm-hmm. do it. But just the way I design it, I don't put a number in my head. Sure. I just look at every spread. Every spread needs to make sense. Mm-hmm. Every image within the spreads, but also the spreads all together. Mm-hmm. Because the goal is to tell the story of the day.
Sure.
The way I shoot, I never shoot for the album. I know some people do that, and it makes sense for some photography style. Just because I'm documentary, I don't shoot for the album. Mm-hmm. I build the album so it fits the story of the day.
Okay.
With the right pictures. Mm-hmm. I try to not mix black and white and color. Sometimes it's kind of hard. I have to do it. Sometimes not mine. But so I design the album. So usually I think I arrive at like maybe 50 pages. So they have like 20 to cut if they want to.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot to cut.
It's a lot to cut.
Yeah, that's a lot to cut.
But some people do it.
Yeah, it probably depends too of the budget. Because exactly. I'm sure by this time you've already talked about pricing, at least giving them an idea. If you stick with the base album, this is what it costs. And this is what it costs if you want to add more spreads. So they can kind of see. And we all know after a wedding, money can be tight, right? And you've spent all your money on your honeymoon and everything. And yes, you might get cash gifts, but that might be earmarked for something else, something specific for the house or that type of thing. So I'm sure there are people who want to upgrade. And then there are people who are like, no, we really just want to show the bare bones of the day. And that's okay, right?
And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because that's everybody.
Here's the base album, when they bought it, I'm covered. It's the cost of the album and the design, I don't know, maybe it's like 2 or 3 hours. I just calculate everything that I'm putting in the album. If they buy the base album, it covers my time and the cost of production. So I don't mind if they don't buy more because I'm good.
Yeah.
And it's only bonuses if they want to add more. And then you have, a different upgrade for if you want leather, if you want to add more stuff to your album. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if they buy more pages, I'm going to throw some free stuff in there.
Sure. Don't we all? You got to. Nice. You got to do it. I don't know. I see these questions of people who are like, oh, well, should I include this or should I give them this or that type of thing? And I'm like, I gift every client something.
At that point, so, you need to.
Yeah. At the headshot session, I say they got 2 digitals. Guess what? Like if it costs me, if it's not a lot of retouching and it's super, super easy. So I give them 3 or 4 or for a portrait client, they wanted, they bought a bunch of products, but I know that they left a couple images, that they might've wanted prints of or that type of thing. I throw them in because I'm generous that way. And I want them to have I want them to leave with a really, really great feeling about working with me. And I think when you include things like that, I think that that's a really great thing to do for your clients. So you've gotten to the point, you've sold the album, you've designed the album. So this is a question that comes up all the time, and it can be a sticking point with some photographers. Do you allow them to see the proof of the album, and how is that process with you?
Yes, we have 2 runs together. So I send them they don't pick the photos. I pick them because I don't want for them to choose their favorites. To start, we need to go, it's like, you guys, let's do this. It's kind of painful. It's a painful process for people. And I get that. You need to go through all your pictures. And I'm not an over-deliver. I deliver maybe 400, 500 pictures for a wedding. Okay. Yeah. So I'm super picky with what I send them. But still a lot of pictures to go through again.
It's still a lot.
So yeah, they have 2 rounds. I send them the first design. They come back with me and some comments, in my software. They can put the comments directly in there. Mm-hmm. You need to have a software that helps them to make it easy. And I think that's super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, they come back with some comments. I switch the photos, come back with more comments. I switch the photos. And that's the last round. They can pay for more rounds if they want.
Okay, they can be. That was my next question. So they can pay for more rounds.
Never happened to me, though. It never happened to me. Because they know they have 2 rounds, all right? So they're extra careful. Usually it takes just 1.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a really great thing that you do for your clients as far as starting the process for them. And like, I'm a big believer in pre-designing an album so that they're really just coming in with small changes here and there. They're not having to choose everything that goes in it. I mean, portrait clients have a hard enough time with that. And I'm only delivering maybe 40 or 45 images of what they want in and what they don't want in. And I always pre-design an album with certain things in mind with my portrait clients, specifically my newborn clients, depending on if I've done a maternity session or that type of thing. Pre-designing it for them based on the fact that by this point, you've probably gotten to know them pretty well. And you've probably gotten to hear some of their opinions about some of their family members that maybe they would want or not want in their album, or certain parts of the day that they would want included or they would not want included. So taking all that information into account, you pre-design this album, and then they know ahead of time that they have 2 proofing rounds. And after that, if they need to make more adjustments, then they pay you, which is perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine to charge for your time in that area. This is not something where you need to feel like you have to go back, you know, 4, 5, 6 times with a client and redesign things for free. They need to know the boundary there of what is included and what isn't included. So you've designed this album, they've approved the layouts, they've approved the cover, they've approved everything that needs to be done. You send it off, and then do you get it sent to you to deliver to them, or do you have it sent to their home?
It depends. So okay. I'm crazy, I do local deliveries.
Yeah, I will too. If it's local.
If it's local, I will do it myself. Just because I love to be able to give it to them. I usually add some like chocolate or like a little snack. And I'm like, okay, you guys, you can like snack and like look at your album. I love that part because I get to see them one last time.
Yeah.
And that's when we talk about the whole experience. Mm-hmm. That's when they're telling me, oh, our families love your pictures about this one. It's just a great way to get feedback. Mm-hmm. And also to just like build more relationship. And usually they're like, oh, we're telling all our friends about you. And I'm like, oh my God, like, thank you so much. This is amazing. And it's just such a great moment to share with your clients.
Right.
I don't do that all the time. If they're not local, I'll just ship it to them directly. Mm-hmm. But usually they're more or less in DC. So that's when I pack it into a bag and, you know, I get
It all fancy.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. Do you offer companion albums for, say, like for mothers and mothers-in-law and that grandparents and that type of thing? Do you offer the small little companion albums that go with it?
Yes, I do. So far, you know, I think I had one parent, because they were buying the album for the bride and the groom, they also added two parents' album. But, you know, it's not... I don't know if it's because maybe I need to do a better job about it, because usually the bride and the groom or the couple, they won't buy it because it's also another investment.
Right.
That is not small, because even if it's a smaller book,
doesn't
cost that less to do it. Mm-hmm. And it has to be a duplicate. Usually companies give you a little discount if it's a duplicate. But if you really think about it, I wouldn't assume that the parents would want the same pictures than the couple.
Yeah. Their parents' interpretation of the day is different than their children. So that does make it tricky when you're offering the duplicate albums, and they need to be actual duplicates of the original design, because the parents might want different options in those albums. So that can be a challenge.
But here's what I do every year, usually I would say around October before Christmas, I would send an album sale. So
love it.
For the couple that didn't buy an album, that's when I'm like, all right, you guys, it's been a year. Do you have an album or not? And usually it's, no, we didn't have time. I'm like, all right, well, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So it's the year after their wedding. So technically, you know, their finances are better. And that could be a great Christmas gift for one of them. So last year I had one groom being like, yeah, let's do a Christmas gift for my wife. So that's nice. Yeah. I go back to the couples who bought the album, but they didn't get the parents' album. All right, you guys, it's Christmas soon. Do you want a great gift for your parents?
Yeah.
Because they helped you a lot during your wedding. let's thank them.
Yeah, key in on those emotions. I love that so much, because so many people also think when you're dealing with sales that at the final delivery that sale is done, and that you're not going to get any more sales from that particular session or that particular event, that wedding or whatever. And that's just not true. You know, when your clients are leaving something on the table that they wanted to get and they didn't get it either because of finances or other reasons. So there's nothing saying when your lab, you know, the lab's going to offer a sale certain times during the year that you coincide a sale of your own during that time, just need to get the dates. And most labs, if you don't know the sale dates, if you call their customer service and if they have it on the calendar, most labs will probably give you that information. And do a little planning, because what could be easier than reselling an event or a session or a wedding or an elopement that you've already shot. All the work's basically done, but here you are having something that they want that you can make several hundred more dollars on just by sending an email or two or a reminder or two. That is something that I think a lot of photographers forget about. So that's great. So you've delivered it, you've gotten paid, you've offered it as an incentive during a sale. If they've left something on the table, they haven't gotten their album or they didn't buy companion albums for parents and all of that. So that's pretty much the timeline for how you offer these albums. And I'm assuming, and maybe this could be a wrong assumption, do you also offer wall art and prints in this as well? So it's not just albums that you're offering these wedding clients?
Yeah. So for prints and wall art, I use Bigtime because they just do the work for me. I love
That's
them.
That's great. Yeah. Okay.
I do talk a little bit about, you know, what the clients want usually during their wedding questionnaire. One of my last question is, are you going to use your photos? Wall art, albums, prints. So if they come back with wall art, like, okay, you guys, so when I'm going to send you your online gallery, in the online gallery, you're going to have a store. Go to the store, look at everything I have. I have great things.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to order the wall art. In my mind, I wish I could have more time to create an actual wall art for them. But most of my couples, because they live in DC, they usually rent at that point of their life.
They rent or they're very transitional. That's usually the thing in our town. We know that governments change every 4 years, contracts change. It's a really transient community. You and I moved here from different parts of the world. Your husband moved here from different parts of the world. I have a husband who actually was born in DC, and that's very rare. Most people have come in and are leaving at some point in time. So the population turns over a lot. A lot of apartments, a lot of renters, or a lot of people who are just like, I don't want to put a bunch of holes in my wall. Like, I just don't. That's not a priority for me. Okay, that's fine. And then one last question, since we're talking about online galleries. So is the only time you meet your wedding couples, is that only in person on the day of the event?
So depending on the couple, if they're local or not. But if they're local, let's say they're local, I might meet them for their engagement session.
Okay.
Which I push because I'm like, you guys, if we meet before, take pictures before, you're going to feel so much better the day of the wedding
yes.
day. So
yes.
engagement session, if they don't want an engagement session, venue walkthrough, I am starting now to do venue walkthrough because mm-hmm. of the connection I can get from it.
Yeah.
I mean, the venue, yeah, cool. Like, it doesn't matter if I don't see it before.
Right.
It's not the point of the venue walkthrough. I came to realize that connection is important with my clients, but also with all the vendors. Mm-hmm. So that's when I might see them. And then if I don't see them at the venue, I usually tell them, if you can, we need to meet once before your wedding day. Because, you know, my style, documentary style, is all about connecting with them. Mm-hmm. It's super important. And I tell them, if you know me, you're not going to be scared of me the day of your wedding day.
Right.
It won't have that weird hour where, and I tell them, you know, your wedding day, you're going to get undressed in front of me. Do you want to do it in front of a stranger or in front of a friend?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that. I think that's so important. Even though the venue walkthrough, like you said, it's not for you. You can take pictures anywhere. Like, we don't care what a venue looks like, but having that element in there that you're available and willing to do that and priced accordingly, so it's worth your time in your packages, it can give them such peace of mind because we know, especially on a wedding day, they need to trust you. They need to feel like, okay, Natasha's got this under control. And taking that extra step in, and even if you don't do a venue walkthrough, but you say you're available to do a venue walkthrough, that puts another level of trust that you're a professional and that you want to do a good job for them and you want the best results possible and that you're looking at their interests first, which is so, so important. Well, it's about time for us to wrap this up. Natasha, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. And hopefully someday we'll get to meet in person because we're so close.
I know. We should connect.
We should. Let's do it. I would love it. I would love it so much. Natasha, thank you so much. And thank you so much for listening to the Focal Points podcast, everybody. We will see you next week with a brand new, fresh episode. Have a great week. Okay, wait. Before you go, I have something that I would love to ask for you to do for me, and it would mean so much if you would head over to iTunes or to Spotify and drop a review of this podcast. We really, really need some reviews so we can get the word out about how great this information is that we share every week. So hit that 5-star review. I appreciate it so very, very much. Secondly, if you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Focal Points podcast, I would love to connect with them. Super, super easy. You go to focalpointspodcast.com, scroll about halfway down that page. There is a place for you to submit the name of someone or yourself even. Tell us why you want them to be a guest and our team will reach out to them. So hit a review, send me a request for guest on the podcasting. And now let's listen to a word from our sponsor at Enphoto. Are you tired of generic photo albums that don't do your stunning images justice? Now, trust me, I have ordered samples from almost every lab, literally every lab. I have a stack of them, probably 50 albums high in my storage room, and I love Enphoto's albums. I have seen them all. You need to look no further than Enphoto's range of beautifully handcrafted albums made with the finest materials. These albums are the perfect way to showcase your photos in a way that truly, truly makes you look like an awesome photographer. And the best part, as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount on your first sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Visit focalpointspodcast.com and start showing your work off in a beautiful, beautiful way.